Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now are two folks from the Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly. I have Executive Director Kathy Eaton and Transportation Coordinator Ren Olson. Welcome to Copper Country Today.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Now, we've gotten very familiar with Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly and the wonderful things that they do. And today we're kind of focusing on one of their aspects, and also certainly one of their more, I'd hate to say more important services, but if you need transportation, and especially if it's in a medical situation, then it is the most important service at that time. But it's also available for some other things. So, Kathy, let's go ahead and just start with you. Little Brothers, right now you're into your June season. It's coming up on the summer. What's going on there?
Well, we are so busy all year round, but summer is kind of a fun, exciting time for us because we do a push for our medical transportation program. So we're getting the word out about the service that we provide. We also we're looking for volunteers who might want to help with it. And also we want to get the word out to any elderly in the community who need help getting to the doctor. So our summer, what we do is we do a summer sweepstakes where our first place prize this year is a beautiful blue 2007 Ford Mustang. And we've been doing the sweepstakes for many years, and there are other prizes with it as well. But all the money raised from the sweepstakes goes towards our medical transportation program. So people will see our Mustang out and about all summer at various events and also at some of the local businesses.
This year it's a blue one, huh?
It's blue. It's the first time we've had blue, and it's beautiful.
And is it like a royal blue or light blue, do you know?
It's not light blue. I don't know if I would say royal blue exactly.
I haven't seen it. I can't wait to see it. You've had like a yellow one in the past, I remember, and then was it a red one a couple of years ago?
We've had yellow, we've had red, we've had a couple white. Those have been the primary colors, so to have blue it's different and fun.
Well, they're all sharp.
They are. They are.
You know, I haven't had the opportunity to complain about winning a single one of them, but, you know, if that opportunity does come, I'm in need of a car right now.
All right.
I don't know if you see my rusty Cadillac out there that got the deer damage. I won that contest, but the deer left its mark on my car, but I wouldn't mind replacing that with a 2007 Ford Mustang. And so you make these appearances at, you know, basically wherever you can get out in public.
Exactly.
And you know, people are buying raffle tickets for it. And often they'll ask you, well, where did all these cars come from?
We actually have a wonderful helper in my husband, Mike, who loves cars. And he makes it his mission to find the best deal available. And it could be anywhere in the country, because he likes to travel too. But typically we just do a lot of searching in the fall when maybe the prices come down a little bit and find a good deal and negotiate a good deal. And sometimes there are cars that might need a little bit of tuning up or repairs, which Ren's husband, Paul Hunter, has been fabulous at helping us with. And this year we have a Mustang that is all set and ready to go.
Do you find, maybe that's a question more for Mike, but when you're talking to these people who have these vehicles, you need to tell them what this will be used for, that they're like, you know, I might be able to get X amount of dollars out on the open market for it, but I'm willing to, you know, change that because I know how many people will help.
Absolutely. And Mike's great at that. And that's always a part of it, is letting people know that why we want this car. And that definitely helps with the negotiation for sure.
How much are the raffle tickets?
The raffle tickets are $3 a piece, or two for $5. And okay, you can get a book of 10 for $25. So,
oh, that's pretty neat.
So lots of options.
Yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to winning my Mustang again this year. Like I said, for some reason, every single year, my notification that I won gets lost in the mail. So, you know, this year I made sure that the post office knows where I live so I can hear about it.
You know, it's interesting, Rick, because we love it when people locally win. But we've had people from downstate win, and we've never, ever, ever had a problem getting a hold of any of the winners for our prizes. So
I guess it just wasn't my year. Ren is here. She is the transportation coordinator for Little Brothers, and the money that is raised through this sweepstakes goes towards to help fund that service. Talk about what you do basically for that.
Okay. Well, what I do with as the transportation coordinator is coordinate all medical transportation appointments to and from a person's house. We call door-through-door service, where we will pick up an elderly, bring them to their medical appointment, and then accompany them. Sometimes people will ask us to go into the office with them, and other times volunteers will take and wait outside of the office, or then leave a number where they can be reached so that when the office appointment is completed, the volunteer will then return to the appointment, pick them up, and then bring them back home to their house.
Now, is there a cost for the people using the service?
All of the Little Brothers services are free.
Okay.
So this medical transportation, even though there are a lot of expenses involved when we're talking about the price of gas these days, we're talking about insurance and all this sort of thing, there are fees involved. However, there are no fees involved for the elders that we provide transportation for.
The drivers themselves, are they volunteers or do you have to pay for their work?
They are volunteers, and we do have three vans that are part of Little Brothers' fleet, plus another vehicle for which volunteers may use Little Brothers' vehicles to provide transportation if they don't want to use their own personal vehicle.
And the reason why I ask those two particular questions is it lets people know that all of the money that they donate basically through the raffle or through things like your pancake breakfast that you recently had, it doesn't go to pay for somebody's salary or pay for a driver. It goes towards just simply running that program. As you mentioned, vehicle maintenance, the gas, those type of things, that's where it goes.
That's exactly where it goes, yes. Being that, like I said, all of Little Brothers' services are free to those individuals 60 years old and older.
And I would like to add, we don't pay any drivers. We are so fortunate to have a volunteer corps that can transport for us. And many of them do use their own vehicles, but especially if somebody's in a wheelchair, then volunteers can use our vehicles as well. But, you know, that's an amazing thing about Little Brothers is that everything, we have a small staff, and everything we do with volunteers. So what a great community.
You do a number of things that you do over there at Little Brothers. There's always an element of going an extra step or two further. When you have your dinners at Easter and Christmas and Thanksgiving, it's not just a dinner. It's, you know, the dinner and the experience and the service and the friendship and the visit. Even if you're getting a homebound dinner, the visitation that's brought that comes with getting a dinner. Some things that Ren has mentioned that I picked up on. What would separate this type of a service from just grabbing a taxi or one of the local transit buses? You mentioned about the person, door through door service. It's not just getting a ride somewhere. It's somebody taking you somewhere. They're going to accompany you to some degree anyways on what you have to go do and, wait for you so that you're not waiting for somebody to come pick you up at some point later. How many of us have been in that kind of situation, especially in a medical situation, where it's not just we need someone to drop us off at the front door and we go and find our way in. Having somebody there for you makes going through something like that, if it's difficult, that much better, that much easier.
There is that companionship and there is the support, the emotional support. For those who do go into the doctor's offices with them, they may be taking notes down so that then when the individual gets home, they say, well, what exactly did the doctor have to say? And then they're able to reiterate, these are the instructions, this is the suggestion from the doctor. And it helps to support, especially for the elderly friend that is up here in the Copper Country who has family members away from the area. So there's a sense of advocacy that is also provided, which is very important when it comes to medical issues.
So will the volunteer at times actually go into the doctor's appointment as well?
There are those really? That are invited to, and sometimes, will you please come in with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we will, there are individuals who may be blind, who may be hard of hearing, might have some issues where they're not really clearly processing what is going on between the conversation and the patient. And so for that, it does help to clarify.
Yeah, and having just that other person there to ask questions, sometimes when doctor, you know, feels that they've explained something thoroughly and you as the patient, like, yeah, okay, I got this. Well, then some, you know, your partner there that's there says, wait a minute, you know, did you say twice a day or two times in the morning, you know, that type of thing. Just to have that extra person there to maybe catch something or ask a question that, you know, you weren't really ready. I mean, you're already under a stressful situation as it is. You're at a doctor's appointment. You're worried about that. Just having that extra person looking after you.
Right. There is that white coat syndrome that, you know, is often associated with going to a doctor's office. You know, it might be elevated blood pressure. It might be just in an uncomfortable, different environment. And the anxiety of, for an older person especially, number one, wondering, am I going to get to my appointment? Am I going to get there on time? And then what is the doctor going to have to say? And how am I going to be able to get my prescriptions and all of this follow-up? So it's a process for which volunteers and interns and staff, we all take our turn in being involved with this transportation process, and it helps us as staff to better understand what it is that the elder is going through.
Another thing that would separate it from a, you know, typical transit service too is, you know, and you briefly mentioned it there, oftentimes when you have to go to a doctor's appointment, it's not just one place you have to go to. You know, you may have to go somewhere else for a test to be done and somewhere else to pick up a prescription. And if you're having to wait for, you know, a cab or a bus to pick you up every single time and you're out there, you're going to spend most of your day waiting in a lobby to go from place to place to place.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important when I receive a call and I will ask if this is a regular consultation, follow-up visit, or if it's a procedure. So then that helps me to work with a volunteer as to how much time to expect. And in the event that there may be a few hours, there are persons that we may bring to dialysis. And so there may be a few hours of downtime for the volunteer. So they may even go and run some errands for that person while they're there at the appointment, or then they can take care of their own errands, this sort of thing. Leave a cell phone number where the person, the driver, can be reached, and to make it as efficient as possible.
Well, this is becoming more and more amazing to me, the more I learn about it. So the different things that a volunteer, you know, has the opportunity to do for you if you need them to. You also mentioned earlier that it doesn't always have to be a medical appointment that you take use of the transportation service.
Right. When it comes down to coordinating transportation for little brothers in general, that also includes the holiday events and other special events. And Little Brothers is not known for not doing things. Little Brothers is always doing something. So there's everything. There's at least once a month where there's a major event, whether it's a birthday party, Scott's matinee. There are different activities that different staff members will take and coordinate. Today there's a mom pa day in another county. And so there's always something going on within Little Brothers that does require transportation needs.
As far as your needs, the needs of Little Brothers, what are they as far as they've been able to keep this program going?
First of all, most important, we need volunteers. What comes first, the horse or the cart, right? You know, and so it's like we need volunteers who are available to provide the transportation. We receive referrals on a regular basis from doctor's appointments, from doctors, from professionals, social workers. We receive referrals for individuals who may need our services, especially medical transportation services. but that volunteers are the key to the program. And so right now we have about 60 key volunteer drivers. However, half of them are snowbirds. So, and then the other half is summertime when we have visitor families coming into town and vacations and this sort of thing. So of those 60, we can depend on about 20 of them on a regular basis. But the last thing that I want to be doing is calling a person every week. Can you drive so-and-so to so-and-so? So we'd like to take and expand our volunteer pool base.
To try to break that down a little further, if you had 30 people that were available in a particular week, if my math is right, then each day, if one person was sort of assigned to somebody each day, and all 30 people were available for the entire week, well, you can only service about 5 to 6 people in any given day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have to imagine there's more than 5 or 6 elderly friends who could use this service on a given day.
That's true. That's true. There have been weeks where there have been only 5 people needing appointments, medical transportation, and there's been up to 35 in a week. And it just happens to be within the next 2 weeks, we have 5 people needing transportation to Marquette.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah.
Which is another service that we provide. We do take people to Marquette for appointments. We generally do 3 to 5 a month. Mm-hmm. Normally, so to have 5 coming up in the next 2 weeks is a lot.
Yeah, and that does happen a lot when we have to go to Marquette. I just had to go last week.
Definitely.
You know, it's just part of where we live. You know, we don't have every service available here, or a particular doctor who may come here a couple of times a month won't be here until next month, and so the only way to catch up to that doctor is to go find where they're at.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes that's in Marquette or somewhere else, so that's mm-hmm. that's good to do that. And, Ren, you also mentioned about the winter time, that's your busiest time, and that's when you have your least amount of drivers.
We have our least amount of drivers in the winter time, but we also find that medical appointments drop off in the winter time due to the weather.
Okay.
And so summertime picks up. It's nicer out. It's easier to get out to appointments. And so summertime appointments are on the increase, whereas it's just easier to get to. But wintertime, the appointments seem to drop off. However, we still have them Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, where we're providing transportation for hundreds of guests to our holiday dinner parties. So there's the medical transportation, and then there's the event transportation. So the phone's always ringing, put it that way.
I bet.
And it's always ringing for Ren.
You're very popular.
I am. It's when I come into work and I look at that little carousel, and there's quite a handful of notes there.
And during the wintertime, it often made me wonder as I would walk out of my front door, and we've got, you know, maybe 3 to 4 inches of snow over the night, nothing really that bad, but the snowplow has come through and put a 2-foot wall in front of the driveway, and always, you know, for me, and you know, physically able to move that snow and get my car out, I always wonder, well, boy, what if you were thinking you had to go catch a doctor's appointment or pick up your prescriptions for the day, and you weren't physically able to move a giant wall of snow like that, frozen hard rock snow that it is. That's where I think about the wintertime of, oh my gosh, I needed to go today, and even though it didn't snow so much, I still can't get out of my driveway.
And we will find that, you know, the volunteers will go above and beyond the extra mile and clean that windrow and shovel a path. And, there are those who are strictly in wheelchairs. And so we do have 3 wheelchair vans. And so but it's getting over that windrow to get closer to the wheelchair ramp to get the individual into the van. So it does pose its challenges. But we seem to make it happen one way or another.
Okay, so you need drivers. We need people to buy raffle tickets. Anything else you need? Sounds like you already have a master mechanic.
we do actually have, we're so blessed by all the volunteers we have, and that includes volunteers with very specific skills, like mechanic. We actually have a retired mechanic, Bill Johnson, who works on our fleet when he's here during the summer and keeps keeps all of our vehicles in tip-top shape. And, you know, and then just the volunteers. We didn't talk a lot about the process, but Ren can definitely attest to this. When an elderly person calls in, Ren takes their appointment, she confirms that with them, and then when she calls the volunteers to set them up, volunteers then call the elderly person they're driving. They call them to introduce themselves, to let them know what time they're planning on picking them up, and really the volunteers work closely with our elderly friend to find out what time do you want to get there? Because people don't want to be late. They don't want to even have to worry about being late. So our volunteers are just very conscientious about just taking care of their elderly friend that day.
How is there a selection process on who gets to drive, I guess?
That's a good question.
What kind of qualifications do you need?
They need a driver's license. They need insurance. But we do background. We do a criminal background check on any volunteer who transports for us or becomes a visiting volunteer. So we're always looking out for the safety and well-being of our elderly friends. That comes first. So there's a process, though. A new volunteer would go through an orientation with Carol Corpola, our program director, and then as volunteers have something specific they might want to help with, which could be driving for doctor appointments or activities, then that person goes to Ren for further training and just to find out more of what they do. And then from then on, Ren will keep contact with them to set up people for them to take.
Do you need your own vehicle?
It helps, okay. But... We do have volunteers who don't have a vehicle, and then they use Little Brother's vehicle. So then again, they would go through training on our vehicles, and it's great if they can go out with a active volunteer or a staff member for the first time to see the whole process.
What about a specialty license? You need anything like a chauffeur's license
nope.
or something?
Oh, nope, they do not. Just a typical license.
All right. I got a couple of minutes to ask you what else you have coming up for the summer. Is there anything else you want to add to this?
Well, we'll also be looking for volunteers who'd be willing to sit at our booths to sell our sweepstakes tickets. Our prizes are really great. Again, our first place prize is a 2000 Ford Mustang convertible. Second place prize is a $500 Visa gift card, which I think people will find attractive. Third prize is 2 cords of firewood cut, split, and delivered within a radius, or you can take a cash alternative. Fourth prize is a Fitbit, and fifth prize is a dozen assorted 9-ounce jars of jams and jellies that are donated by the Wooden Spoon in Mohawk.
I didn't even know about the secondary prizes.
Yeah. There's some great options there. Of course, the Mustang is always a big attraction, but there are awesome other prizes as well. And so we just, you know, again, we continue to thank the community. We know we're asking the community all the time for support, but we certainly thank everyone for how they can help.
I would take the firewood. I got a fire pit in my backyard. I didn't know the extent of how badly I was losing these sweepstakes. I didn't want to ever want anything.
You have to buy more tickets.
I
mean, that's what it is. I got to buy more tickets. You know, everything that Little Brothers Friends of the Elderly does is terrific. You know, for such a small area, there's no shortage of need. And, you know, there's things maybe about our area that, you know, contribute to the need for organizations like this one. But, you know, I rarely ever know of anybody who says, there's no place for me to go. You know, there's no place for, you know, there's nobody here to help me. There's nobody here to support me. We have organizations like yours that can do it. And some of the times it's just getting those people to motivate them to come, like to come to your dinners, to call and say, I'm worthy of being helped here, or I have to acknowledge that there's specific needs that I need, that I have, than something like your transportation service I could use. What would you like to say to those people who are listening that maybe, how do you encourage them to get in touch, and how do they do that?
That's a great point. People don't like to have to ask for help. And really what I want to stress is that Little Brothers is all about companionship. We are just here to respect our elderly friends in our community and give people in the community an opportunity to volunteer however they can. And for some people, that might be helping once or twice a year. Other volunteers are in every day doing things. So Little Brothers is a family, and that's, we just want people to feel comfortable being part of our family. We don't want anybody to feel bad if they have to ask for help for some reason. And if people are just lonely because you don't have family here, that's what Little Brothers is all about.
Kathy Yaton and Brent Olson from Little Brothers, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you very
much.
Thank
you, Rick.
Cover Country Today, we'll be right back.